Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jewels. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jewels from beautiful Southern California. Okay, get ready to be inspired. Tonight we have Don Miguel Ruiz and his son, Don Jose Luis, who have co-authored the conclusion to the most incredible, popular, best-selling book of all times, The Four Agreements, with The Fifth Agreement. Don Miguel has sold millions of The Four Agreements, and it's no surprise that their newest book, The Fifth Agreement, has become a huge bestseller even before it lands on the shelves through pre-sales. I am so honored to have them both on Law of Attraction Talk Radio, and I can promise you that you are going to feel the love that exists with these two incredible souls whose desire is to change our world. So stay with us. We will be right back. Thank you. Because of you and the Law of Attraction, we've made listening a little easier. The Law of Attraction Radio Network's 24/7 broadcast is now syndicated to 19 major internet radio networks, including iTunes Radio. Not only can you tune into the radio broadcast, you can now get the apps for the show you are listening to right now through Stitcher.com. That's right. Now you can hear this popular show through the stereo systems of the new Ford cars and BMWs. Or you can keep on listening through your MP3 player or on your computer as you surf the net. Go to loaradionetwork.com and find the show page to your favorite radio show. Simply download the app to listen to our continuous 24/7 broadcast or just this one magnificent show. Remember, loaradionetwork.com. Okay, great. For those of you who live in the Northern Hemisphere, did you notice the Northern Lights this week? That is the result of the intense solar storm that sent electrical and magnetic currents to the planet during the first week of August. Now, let me ask you, did you happen to notice some irritability or some sadness or even great happiness? Did you notice that your mood shifted in an instant? Well, I sure did. I got angry and I couldn't figure out why, and then I felt this incredible sadness and I couldn't figure out why that was happening when everything was working so perfectly. Then I checked the KP indexes and understood finally what was going on. It's because of the intense energy hitting our planet from the solar activity. And even more interesting, there was a 7.0 earthquake in Papua New Guinea during the height of the solar activity. Of course, all of this does affect earthquakes. Often during the solar activity, hospital admissions, heart attacks, seizures, and even acts of violence can increase dramatically. But it's also a time of incredible creativity and love in which to shift the consciousness of all living things on Earth. So I am asking everyone to start monitoring these solar activities by searching on the internet for KP indexes, because the need to become aware of these solar occurrences are more important than ever. Scientists have stated that these are going to occur more and more often during the next 2 years because of the sun shifting its axis, and it needs actually more explosions to tip over, shall we say. And that's just wonderful for us, because every time it occurs, it allows us such phenomenal energy in which to manifest our intentions. And also, when we know that these solar activities are happening, you can understand and calm your emotions better without any reaction. And this is what the world needs. So it is the perfect time to manifest your intentions for a wonderful new world of peace and abundance, as well as for your own personal intentions. Remember, do search for solar KP indexes and you will understand immediately what's going on. Then you simply need to breathe in the calmness and send out love to the world. This is the time to go to the website of Global Coherence Initiative and participate. With this action, you, yes, you, will change the world. Isn't it just amazing to be alive right now? Now, during tonight's show, we are going to do energy work focusing on one major issue that you have been wanting to resolve. But it's going to be after we talk to Don Miguel and Don Jose. Because of the incredible energy you're going to feel from them, will intensify our energy work. So listen to tonight's show in its entirety so that we can do the energy work. Now, it is with great pleasure that I introduce Don Miguel Ruiz and his son and co-author of The Fifth Agreement, Don Jose Luis. Let me give you a little introduction for those who may not be aware of this incredible family. Don Miguel was born into a family of healers and raised in rural Mexico by a healer mother and shaman grandfather. The family anticipated Don Miguel would embrace their centuries-old legacy of healing and teaching, and as a shaman, carry forward the esoteric Toltec knowledge. Instead, distracted by modern life, Don Miguel chose to attend medical school and later teach and practice as a surgeon. By 1987, Don Miguel started sharing his Toltec vision with his tools of personal transformation and later wrote the book, The Four Agreements, in which he has literally changed the lives of millions of people. Witnessing the passage of his son, Don Jose, into the new order in the Eagle Knight lineage, Don Miguel co-authored the conclusion of the Four Agreements, the Fifth Agreement, with Don Jose. For more information and to view some very powerful videos, go to www.miguelruiz.com. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio, Don Miguel and Don Jose.
Oh, thank you.
You have set the intention that you both want to change the world. Why?
It's all about gratitude in life. You know, when you get a gift from life to see yourself and to change the world for yourself, this is what we're talking about. And I remember after seeing many teachings from my father and after being in hell and returning to heaven and going back to hell, like in my life, and to one point I really know that I was the creator of my own life, and wherever I put my attention, that's where I was going to place myself. So after that, I went to my father saying thank you to him, because he's the one who gave me all these tools, him and my grandmother. And I went up to him and I said, Father, how can I repay you? How can I say thank you for everything that you've given me, the kitchens, your love? And he said, it's very simple, son. He said to me, help me to change the world. I go, oh, whoa. That's a big responsibility. He goes, don't be silly, son. He goes, change the world in your mind. Doesn't matter what awareness you have, change the world every day. Because when you change the world in your head and not give yourself the negativity, just the positivity, then you're changing the world in your head by giving yourself that essence. And not only that, wherever you walk to, you're giving that essence as well to your friends, to your family, to everyone. And this will create a happy life for you, because it's all about generosity, about saying thank you to what was given to you.
How beautifully put. Don Miguel, from what Don Jose just said, it sounds like he's describing the basis of the law of attraction.
Yes, we can say that only you know exactly what you love, only you know exactly what you like, only you know exactly what you don't like. Nobody else ever knows what you like or you don't like, what make you happy or what don't make you happy. This is something that is only you, because you are the one who create the reality in the one you live. And in that reality, you will have an attraction for realities like yours. Then we can say that in this beautiful planet Earth, there are 6 million artists who create a reality for themselves, that they create their own world, and everything is completely different. And you know, for you to feel a certain attraction is because you love something and other people love kind of the same thing. You are compatible many different ways. Then positive looks like a positive and negative. They dancing always together, positive, negative, and make a beautiful equilibrium. Then what we know as is a still love of attraction is what really make us feel that we want something. Mm-hmm. And this is come directly from our integrity. And yes, I know that many people try to put this in words, and some of them make a very good job, but that really comes from the program that we are. You know, the first expression in the human is what we can call desire. Then many of the religions and philosophies, they judge desire as something good or something bad. Well, it's not either good or bad or right or wrong. It's just how we humans express ourselves. We want, we don't want, we desire, we don't desire. But from that point, desire can go in two different directions. Mm-hmm. One direction can go into obsession, and the other could go into passion. Mm. When you go into obsession, that obsession will take you into self-destruction. When you go into passion, that passion will guide you into inspiration, and inspiration will take you to truth. That is what, as an artist, make you perceive the beauty of your own creation and everybody else's creation. But you can see everybody else's life, and you can feel certain attraction the way they live life, and they can feel certain attraction the way you live life, even if they only know about you, what they believe about you, because the truth is that nobody really knows you, as you don't know anybody really, but you can kind of see the creation of the art. Then we can, even with the point of view of an artist, we can see every human as an artist, and we can see creations of every human. Then art that are kind of similar, like yours, is what will attract you more.
Well, Don McGill, I must tell you, you are an artist with words. And besides that, you can feel every ounce of heart coming into every word that you mouth. It is just wonderful. Let's talk about the Four Agreements, because it has had such a profound effect on so many people.
Well, we can say that the first Four Agreements is the introduction of this way of life, the way of life as an artist. By the way, the word artist is Toltec. And Toltec means artist, and it's truth in any language that we translate. Then to be a Toltec is really to be an artist. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with a way of life. Then we can say this Four Agreements is the introduction of this way of life, to see everything as an art, everything as beauty. And the result is, by practicing these Four Agreements, your life becomes much more beautiful and so easy. But like I told my children and my apprentices, practice made the master. Mm-hmm. Then when we was grow up, we make millions of agreements, and we practice and practice until we become what we believe we are. And it's not a judgment, it's just the way it is. We can create the most beautiful drama, the most beautiful kind of life, the drama. We can do whatever with our dream, with our story. But if we start using the Four Agreements, we challenge all those all what we learn, all the lives that we learn, and life becomes easier and simpler and simpler and simpler. And when these four agreements, something happened in our mind that is like a kind of war, and that war is not between good and evil. Good and evil is just a reaction of the real war, because the real war is between the truth and lies. When we believe in truth, we become good. When we believe in lies, it becomes a different degrees of evil. Anyway, with these four agreements, we challenge all those lies. We start shifting our life until by the end of the training, we find the last agreement, which is the fifth agreement, which is being skeptical. And this is the end of that war in the mind, because after that war, we are in peace. We no longer are in war. We are not a warriors anymore, but it's the beginning of a new kind of life, the life of a master.
And in order to reach the life of a master, you have to confront the lies. Don Jose, you created a video of Out of the Cave, and I thought it was so profound and so wise in that we have to get out of our cave to master life. Let's talk about this.
Yes, since I was little, you know, my father said to me, you know, the world is the cave, you know, and you have to bring your light to illuminate the caves to see where you're going. But he said the world is not that cave. Actually, the cave's inside your mind. So wherever time you have a negativity, you have lies playing in your head, then it's time to put your light into it, because the light is your truth, and the truth is the place that the action of life we take, so the light cannot exist in that place. So when we are aware of the power of the truth, we can definitely light up any dark situation that appears into our perception. And, you know, it's like the mother of Forrest Gump say, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And no matter what awareness you have, you know, life is going to throw at you. Life is going to be thrown in at you. So when you are present with you, when you are really knowing that you have light inside of you, there's never an excuse why not to bring that light into a darkened place. And this is when we have the realization that heaven doesn't need heaven, because it's already there. When it's heaven, it's hell, and we will take heaven wherever we go. And the hell happens inside our mind. So the cave, we get out of the cave when we know that we are in bliss, when we are happy, when we're just this pure love, and nothing can overcome it. No, nothing can overcome it. And this is when I say to my apprentices, you know, what heartbreak, what death experience, what things in life that you detach from is more powerful than you, that you will give your heaven away. And when we are aware of this, we can really answer one question when we're really truthful to ourselves, and that's what kind of messenger are we? So when we respond to that question, you know, we know that we don't have to tell it to nobody. It's just self-awareness, and this is the power of our silent knowledge. It's when we are aware what kind of life we're living. There's no one to blame. There's no one to debate with. We're just here present in life. And when we're here present in life, you know, this is when the truth lives, and the truth doesn't care to be judged. The truth doesn't care to be seen. The truth doesn't care to have a diploma to say to everybody, look, I mastered the truth. No. You're just living your truth, and the truth is whatever sets you free from living in a dark place in your life.
So it's all about confronting the lies that we tell ourselves on a minute-to-minute basis.
Yes, because it's so easy to be authentic. What is difficult is to pretend. And you know that everyone who feels their own pain in their life, you know, they don't want to live, it's because they're addicted to that pain. They're addicted to suffering, and they don't want to live out their island of safety. They just want to stay in a pain they're used to. But as humans, we can create any excuse, because we're so intelligent. We can create any excuse why not to. But the beautiful part that we cannot see is to ourselves, because we're telling ourselves the truth, and it's so easy to be our authentic self. It's difficult to pretend. And some people say, well, it can't be that easy. It has to be difficult, because they make it difficult because they don't want to embrace that. And it's so easy to embrace. It's just the willingness to do. So in growing up with my father, I kind of know there's two types of seekers. It's the seekers of knowledge who just want knowledge after knowledge after knowledge. And there's the seekers who just don't want to suffer anymore, who are tired of living a certain life. And I respect most of them all, because I respect most the one who doesn't want to suffer anymore, because it will end it. And the one who's looking for knowledge will always find knowledge and never be satisfied. And when you are aware that you listen to the knowledge inside of you, is when you're opening the new book of Revelation. Revealing what? Revealing your own lies and confronting them so you can disintegrate them and not have them in your presence anymore.
Mm, beautiful. Let's go to the four agreements. The first one is be impeccable with your words. Don Jose, what exactly does this mean?
Well, yes, being impeccable to the word is like the dream, like the dream weaver. For many times we thought we were the bug getting stuck in a dream catcher, but we are the dream catcher. And being impeccable with the word is very important because it's the vibration we put out into life. You know, by physics it's proven that you need force to move an object. And when we push it, we move it with force with the hand. Now when we move our hand, it's being moved by force. So you can say that that's our spirit that moves this object. Now, the force is also being put into every word we speak. And if it's done with negativity, we're putting negativity to the world, and we're putting negativity into our head, into our loved ones. But if we're speaking with positivity, then we're being impeccable with the word, and we're bringing awareness, we're bringing love into any kind of word we speak to. And it's a beautiful thing because a word is the dream weaver.
And say that word is what creates all knowledge, everything that we know. And knowledge is not good or bad or right or wrong. It's just our creation. And it's like all those different colors that we use to paint the most beautiful art in our campus. And with the word, we create the reality in the way we live. We create the story of ourselves. And if we're impeccable with the word, we will live in that eternal heaven. And if we are not impeccable with the word, we will create all those dramas. Then we can see how important really is the word.
So what I hear you saying is to speak positively, speak from the truth, speak from integrity.
To be the truth is what you are.
Wow, this is really powerful stuff. So let's go to the second agreement, which is don't take things personally.
Yes, we can say that if we use the word to create our reality, our world, we also can see that everybody around us, they use the word to create their reality, and they live in their reality, in their world. Then whatever they know about you is only what they believe about you. They really don't know you, and you don't really know them. You only know what you believe about them, and what you believe about them is not truth. Then if we know that whatever they say or do is the way they perceive, the way they believe, there's no sense to take it personally because they really don't know us. They may believe that they're right, but they really don't know you. Then by not taking anything personally, you create this immunity in the interaction with everybody around you.
So if we don't take things personally, then we never have to be angry with another person again in our lives,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. But still, if you have respect, you will not allow anybody to disrespect you, you know, because they can make so many assumptions about you, and based on all those assumptions, they can act against you. Then you need to create those systems of limits, so you know, all those boundaries that nobody can cross unless you allow them to cross. And also you need to learn to respect the boundaries from other people that you cannot cross unless they allow you to cross those boundaries.
Does that mean that you remove yourself from a situation in that if you can't reach an agreement?
Well, it means that they live in their own life, in their world, they have all those fears, all those prejudgments, so whatever, all those fears, that for self-defense, they can create all those boundaries that we don't have the right to just go and cross it, to overpower them if we have the power to do it. And nobody really has the right to go and cross our boundaries that we create for our own fears. Then we can say that every person, they create their own boundaries. And it's a whole art of and interaction that exists in between humans. And when we don't take anything personally, we don't need to deal with all of that.
Yes, it is also one beautiful thing that you can see that humanity has been passing, pushing to each other all the time. And when a person is passed to us, we pass pushing to somebody else because we take it personal. But it comes a point when this agreement really helps us to master love, master forgiveness, because when someone gives us a pain and we take them personal, we support that dream. But the moment that someone brings us pain and we don't take it personal, it's because we master forgiveness. And in this tradition, we get taught to forgive even before they go against us, because the world's going to go against us one day or another. Brothers and sisters are going to judge us. So when we don't take it personal, it's when we're not judging ourselves and we're not judging others, and the judgments die in our head. And of course, every day they're going to come with the same language, with the same judgments, opinion, the hypocrisy, the envy, and all that. But we don't take them personal, because that's just a legacy that's been passed to them. And someone passed it to the someone who passed it to them, and now they're passing it to us, and we have the choice. We want to continue passing this poison into this life we live. And the moment we say no, then everything dies inside of us. So we become like Siddhartha, turning the arrows into roses, and that's all there is. People are throwing their opinions, their judgments for us to get us out of our center. But when we look at this, the second agreement, don't take things personal, can really free us from ourselves and from passing poison to our brothers and sisters, because in life, it's just a mirror. And what we pass on, we're really passing into ourselves, and that's the kind of life we live.
Absolutely. You said it so well. Let's go on to the third agreement, which is don't make assumptions. So simple, but yet so powerful.
Yes, we can see that before, when we was born, we had no knowledge in our head. Then we didn't think. Then to learn a whole language, it really took a big effort. It took several years, like a 5, 6, 7 years, to practice and practice and practice the language that we learned. Then we can see that our parents hook our attention, so big brothers, sisters, the school, etc., and then load into us all that information that we call knowledge. And we practice and practice until a certain point of our life, a miracle happened. That knowledge starts speaking in our head, and we call it thinking. And it speaks with a voice that nobody can listen but us. We are the only one who listens that voice of knowledge. And that voice of knowledge is talking and talking and talking and talking. Then when we make assumptions, it's because that voice of knowledge is talking and talking in our head. We completely different opinions against each other, etc. It's like a wild horse that is taking you nowhere. Then there is a lot of noise in our mind, a noise that only we can hear, and we call it mitote. It's like being in a market with 1,000 people start talking at the same time, and nobody is listening. Then we're making assumptions and more assumptions and more assumptions. And if we don't make assumptions, that gives us immunity with interaction that we have with ourselves. When we talk to knowledge, that gives us immunity because we don't have to believe what knowledge is saying. Because, you know, with all the information that we have, we only cover part of the truth, and the mind is made in a way that we complete what we don't know with an assumption. And we do it without even being aware that when we make assumptions, we create so much drama for something that really doesn't exist. Then not to make assumptions is a big, big challenge into our own mind, because we believe ourselves. When we no longer make assumptions, we no longer believe ourselves, and that horse is tame, and we no longer think of the peace return to our mind. Then not to make assumptions becomes extremely, extremely important. Give us immunity in the interaction that we have with ourselves.
So is this along the lines of keeping an open mind?
Well, definitely yes, because to keep an open mind, it comes with the fifth agreement, be skeptical. It's don't believe them, don't believe me, don't believe yourself, but learn to listen. Then learn to listen is what keeps the mind open. when you listen what they say, you not necessarily need to believe what they say, but you will take what is important for you, because you already know that everybody creates their own reality, just like you create yours. What do you think, Jose?
Yes, I 100% agree, and that to make assumptions, you know, it's like creating fiction for me. Because if I see something and make assumption, I can see in my head thinking. But it's just an assumption being played on. It's not really true. Because how many times we make assumptions about our loved ones and they're really not doing anything, and we project on them, and then we actually put seats for them to do that. And we push people away we love because of assumptions. And it's one of the practices that we learn in the Topic tradition is to master silent knowledge, to not gossip about yourself, to not gossip about others, to see the whole paradigm that it can be put into believing with fears, because of making assumptions is living with fear. It's trying to impose something into some other creation. And we know that no one has the right to write in our book, and we don't have the right to write in no one's book. And this is one of the dreams that we see as the Eagle Knight lineage, is to learn to see life just dreaming itself. And when we put attention how life is dreaming itself, we're not creating any assumptions. You're just looking at it with facts. And when we look at it with facts, we can see the whole automatics of the human consciousness, because then we begin seeing how we see it ourselves, how we begin to think. Then we begin stalking ourselves. And this is one of the beautiful introductions for the fourth agreement, because the fourth agreement is to take action. To take action for you not to believe in lies. To take action to do your best. To take action to not take it personally. To take action to not make assumptions. To take action to be impeccable with your word. To take action to respect yourself and to respect life. Because this is one of the things that we come down to, is to finally look yourself into the mirror and looking at self and say, what kind of messenger are we? And this is how we can change our dream, change our program, by knowing what program it needs to be removed from our system. And the program is just an automatic habit that makes assumptions, that takes it personally, that is not impeccable with their word. So we can create this whole drama for our lives when we are now aware we're taking our best and we're doing it. And when we do our best, there is no judgment. There is no judgment at all. And in the old tradition, they said that the last judgment is coming, it's the end of the world. Well, I believe that, but I don't believe it in a negative way. I believe it in a positive way. It's an old world we used to live by. And the last judgment is so powerful, because if we do not judge ourselves, no one else can judge us, and the judgments will die. And from this point, we're ready to serve life. We're ready to serve ourselves. We're ready to serve our loved ones. And one of the actions we take is by right the fifth agreement, is to be skeptical, but learn to listen. It doesn't come from a personal position, no, a society position. I'm more intelligent than you. No, it's more to see the lies that we're giving to ourselves and not believing it. And listening to the heart is really understanding it and forgiving it, and just let life be and be present in life. And this is what the Topic tradition calls the angel messenger, because we are messengers. We're all angels. The question is just what kind of messenger we are. And as humans, we can create any excuse why not to. This is why we're dragging to silent knowledge, because we cannot lie to ourselves.
Wow, you're right. We can't lie to ourselves. We are the only ones who know the truth about ourselves. Fascinating.
Yes, because we just know. Sometimes we just go and talk and gossip about ourselves to somebody to convince ourselves that we're thinking like that. But when we are really want to change, when we really want to change, we look at ourselves and know what is happening. Because it's so easy to see an abusive relationship outside of you. You know, a friend is in an abusive relationship, it's easy to see that. But when one is in an abusive relationship itself, then it's not ready to see that, because it's still attached to that. And the abusive relationship that I'm talking about is not with anybody else, it's with relationship with ourselves. So when we're ready to see that if we have an abusive relationship with ourselves, then we can change that. And when we change that, we learn respect. And we respect ourselves, and when we respect ourselves, we can truly respect everywhere we go to and everyone who's in it.
You know, these simple four agreements are so profound, and what they're really doing is teaching people how to be happy. We have to be taught that.
Yes, it's waking up from a a way of dreaming. It's waking up from a way of living. And if we don't speak it, it's not going to happen. And when my father had his heart attack and he came out of it and he survived, I said to my father, you know, Father, we cannot teach the courses we used to teach, like first year, second year, third year, ABC, Gloria, me, no. We just have to give exactly the truth to the person because they are just resonating inside of themselves already. And one of the things we're also changing is there is no more teacher. There's no more apprentice because one is the self-apprentice and one is their own teacher because that's the person they're going to go to the end. We're going to be with ourselves to the end. And when we begin to listen to ourselves, we know our common sense, we know our truth and lies, we know right and wrong. It's so clear and it's so beautiful because it's a time right now. It's a time, and one of my friends said, Don Jose, what does it mean to you, the end of the Maya calendar in 2012? And I responded, do you really want to know? Well, what it means for me is the end of superstition. It's the end that will give power away to somebody outside of ourselves that he can bring a seven or she can bring a seven. Because the only one who can bring a seven is ourselves. And in doing this, you know, it's a very powerful thing because we're breaking a corruption of spirituality. Because how many people, they go to learn for 3, 4, or 5 months something and they don't practice it themselves. They're just copying other people and they open up their mystery school, their self-awareness school, and they're guiding people who are suffering and manipulating them, stealing from them. And I believe we can break this by everyone believe 100% in themselves. And one of the reasons that we're teaching now not to have apprentices, a teacher, it's not for the apprentice, it's for the teacher to not fall themselves in personal importance and ego that they think they're better than. No, we're all the same. No matter what awareness, no matter where we're born, we're all equal as humanity. And we're all going through the same thing. So it's time to get down from a pedestal and be one with everything. And this is one of the ways we're going to break the addiction of suffering because the addiction of suffering is so huge that he has made spirituality also corrupt.
Hallelujah. Thank goodness that you said that. You're absolutely right. We are our own teachers. We are our own apprentice. That is truth.
Yes, absolutely, because then we learn the true respect, you know, and if we can put all of our faith into a person that lived many years ago that we met, if we can have them in our altar and have all the faith into that person, how difficult can it be to take a picture of ourselves, place it in the altar, and have all the faith into ourselves? And it's not just respecting the teacher that lived many years ago that we didn't meet or met. It's respecting it that he inspired us to make a change in our life, and now we're making a change. And our little ones who are looking at us live our life, they're going to get inspired, and they're going to make a change and bring the truth to another layer because it's all about legacy. And the legacy is about carrying the Holy Grail, and the Holy Grail is our life. That's the most beautiful thing, our life is eternal.
Such wisdom. It's wonderful. And it's such a truly wonderful time to be alive to experience all of this.
Oh, it's a big honor because in this time, it's a big responsibility because all our ancestors, you know, they spoke truth and the Inquisition will come and burn them and burn their families. And in this generation, there is no Inquisition. The only Inquisition is in our own head. So I ask everybody to do us a big favor and to make history. To make history before we forget ourselves, because one day we're not going to have a mind, we're not going to think. So the history it is to give ourselves heaven and to give this new legacy and break the corruption of spirituality by giving ourselves freedom every day, changing our world and saying thank you to the person who gave us awareness, and we will get awareness just by being our authentic self.
So talking about the dream world and a dream weaver, are you saying that life is just an illusion?
Life is real. Life is present. We live in a world of action-reaction. But yet again, the emotions we feel are real, but the story we tell ourselves, they're not real. They're not real, the stories we tell ourselves. So when we are aware of this, we can create the most beautiful story as an artist and give it to us and give it to everybody else. And one of the beautiful things about life is the power of imagination, because imagination allows you to remove yourself from a dream and create a new dream. And when we close our eyes, this is where dreams are born. That if we take action, we will manifest something. But if we don't take action, we will not manifest anything. And when we push ourselves, we'll have an experience to transcend from a world that we don't want to live anymore into a new world that we want to live anymore. And everything, you know, is created for us. So there's no excuse. It's just action, and that will be done.
It's a fact that we are dreaming. You know, we are dreaming with the brain awake, and you know what we perceive is not the world of objects that we see in our dream. We perceive light. Light is being reflected from all the objects that we perceive, and it's projecting into our eyes. And from the eyes, they go to the brain, and we create a whole reality in our brain made by images. Then it's a dream that is based in reality. It's just like when you go to a mirror, and beforehand you know that everything that is inside the mirror is not real. That if you try to touch it, you only will touch the surface of the mirror, but you already know that everything is outside of the mirror is real. You can touch it. You can smell it. But what is inside the mirror is virtual, is not real. Well, our eyes is just like this mirror. Whatever is inside of eyes is not real, it's virtual. But everything that is outside of eyes is real. You can touch it. And image, imagination, dream. And the dream comes because with knowledge, we give explanation, we give meaning to what we perceive. With thought, we change everything, and we create a whole story. Then, yes, we are dreaming. But it's based in reality. It's only truth for the one who is dreaming that dream.
In the Toltec wisdom, can we, in fact, close our eyes and create a whole new world of peace, of abundance, of less suffering, of more joy? Can we do that?
Well, we only can change the world that we create, which is the one who is inside our head. In order to change the outside, we need to make agreements with the rest of the dreamers, that is 6 billion people dreaming in this beautiful planet Earth. And with agreements, we can change the outside also. But perhaps you cannot change everything, but you can change by doing your best whatever exists in your mind. Then whatever you will create reality first exists in your mind. Then you take an action. It's like you want to create a bridge. The bridge first exists in your mind. You make the planes. You get people. Everybody work. And in a few months, the bridge is reality. It's already real. You can walk in that bridge. But while you don't take the action, it only exists in your mind. Then the same thing is doing by the rest of the people. And we create cities. We create countries. We create everything that you can perceive right now. You know, the beautiful cities, and it's just great what we humans can make together. But everyone live in their own world, and we live in what we can call the dream of the planet. And the dream of the planet is made by all those dreamers dreaming together, making agreements, and create what we perceive right now. And you see all the cities. Well, if you are in the city, wherever you live, you go out of the city for 1 year, and a year you come back to the city. The city is changed. There's new stores, some stores that's gone. There's new streets. There are many things that change. And the dream of the planet is always changing because we humans, we can change in it, and also the rest of nature is helping to change what is real, what is creation. Because something that we need to understand that everything that is created will have an end. Everything that is created will have an end and will be transformed at every single moment. Just like a physical body. If you remember 20 years ago, your body was completely different. When you was a child, you do your little hands. Well, you're still you, but you're not the same, and you're changing every single moment. Because all creation have a beginning and have an end.
Being a medical doctor, a surgeon actually, and a shaman, what do you think happens at the end of our time?
Well, our physical body will be dissolved. But as Jose was saying a little before, in order to move, need a force to move the matter or to stop the movement of the matter. And this is, you can see that in physics, it's so easy to understand. Well, that force is what we call life. Then life is eternal, it's indestructible. Energy is eternal, cannot be destroyed, only can be transformed. And we are the force who is moving our physical body. We are the force who create all those dreams in our brain. And that force is immortal. Then when the physical body dies, the force doesn't die. It just transforms and is eternal. Then we are not going anywhere. We are here. We are everywhere. And there's nothing to fear, really. Of course, when we have the awareness, because the one who fears is knowledge. Mm. Knowledge is afraid of the unknown, and death is the unknown. Then when knowledge is afraid to death, then it's afraid, and let me explain it this way. If you ask me what I am, my answer will be, I don't know. But I can use knowledge in order to try to explain what I believe I am. And I will tell you, I am a human, I am a male, I am a medical doctor, I am an author. If I go into a religion point of view, I will say, well, I am a spirit, I am a soul. If I go in science, I will say, well, I am energy, I am light. But the truth is that I don't know what I am, but I am, I'm here. I exist, but there's no words to explain it. Then I am the unknown, and knowledge is afraid of me.
Wow, you know, it's not often that I'm left speechless, but oh my. All I want to do is just sit back and listen and listen and listen. It's just wonderful. Oh, you both co-authored the Fifth Agreement. Was that difficult to write together?
Well, we are the same, really.
And by that statement, are you suggesting that you live in the present moment? Therefore, you are everyone and everyone is you.
It's correct. I am you.
And that's why I can feel this incredible love right now.
Exactly. I love myself so much that I create everything that exists.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I've got tears in my eyes right now.
You're very welcome.
Oh, my, this has been such a wonderful show. And we're almost out of time. Any last words?
Okay.
Well, just one thing. To remember, gratitude begins with oneself. And we're grateful to ourselves to be present. We can totally change the world every moment. And there's no one to blame, never. And to really respect ourselves, to wake up. Wake up from a world that everybody is dreaming. Everybody is dreaming their own dream, so let's wake up in our own dream and do the best gift we can give to ourselves, because the heirs, we are the heirs of the kingdom of heaven. We just have to go and take it, and to take it is just to be ourselves. You know, no one can teach you how to be you, because you're already you, and there's nothing else you need to learn, because no one can teach you how to be you. So just be you and shine on. And everything is spiritual, so whatever makes you connect to that essence, to the real you, is perfect. And just remember that we are perfect just the way we are, and every time we say we're not perfect, we're insulting ourselves, we're insulting God, we're insulting God, and with awareness, we will never do that again, and empower the message that we really are.
Oh, that is so true. Thank you for sharing that. Don Miguel, do you have any parting words for us?
It's true that we come with one mission, is one of us, and the only mission is the same for all of us, and the mission is to make ourselves happy. Now, the how we make ourselves happy will be millions of different ways, whatever makes you happy, because only you know what is what makes you happy or not.
So in order to evolve into a better human, in order to live life in joy, we need to learn how to be happy.
Well, this is what we really are. We are here to enjoy, not to suffer. But it's our decision to suffer, then everybody is welcome to suffer if they want to suffer.
Absolutely. The choice is ours to either be happy or to be miserable. And we can be happy by the four agreements and the fifth. Thank you so much, Don McGill and Don Jose, for coming on and sharing your wisdom and helping us to learn our own power in order to change the world. We are joining you right now in changing the world. Thank you so much for coming on.
You have all my love.
Thank you very much. Send a big hug and all my love.
And if you would like to buy the fifth agreement or to just find out more about Don McGill and Don Jose, go to www.miguelruiz.com. That's MIGUELRUIZ.com. Okay, now that I feel so energized, let's do some energy work. So I want everyone to just take a deep breath and bring to mind a particular issue that happened this week that you would like to resolve once and for all and relieve all the stress surrounding it. So bring it to your mind. Take a deep breath. Now, I want you to imagine this golden light in a figure eight going from the top of your head, passing through the waist, going down to the toes, then coming back up to the waist again, crossing over, and just let this wonderful beam of light just circle your body as you're bringing up your energy. Let your vibration just build up, build your aura, just let it shine. Bring your energy up, feel it, feel the magnificence of you and all of your energy. Bring it up. Good, good. Now I want you to take that issue that you've been thinking about all week . Now I want you to pick something that you feel so happy about. It could be the love of a child. It could be the love of a mate. It could be the love of a hobby. Just bring that love and appreciation and gratitude about something and feel it. Now apply it to that issue that you've been working on, or that's been bugging you all week. Bring it to that, knowing that that issue is there to teach you something about yourself. Consider that issue to be a huge blessing because it is opening the door into your emotional mind. It's allowing you to see, to have clarity, for you to understand the reason why you created this to begin with. Good. Wonderful. Now take a deep breath. Energize it. And see that issue resolved. Feel the incredible relief knowing that you don't have to deal with this issue any longer. You know that this issue will be absolutely resolved, and it will be resolved to your best interest. good. Now let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. And know that everything is fine. Everything is fine. You are creating the perfect outcome. You may not know what that outcome is, but the universe does. And you can rest assured that everything is going to work out perfectly. You did this. You created the issue, and now you're creating the resolution. And I say to you, good job. Good work. You are a magnificent being. You are fantastic. And even more important, you realize how very powerful you are. And as we have all learned from this hour, we understand now that we must be impeccable with our words. We understand that we do not have to take anything personally. We also know we can't make assumptions for what others may be thinking. And we must always do our best, because that will bring us complete joy and happiness, knowing that we did our very best. And finally, we have just learned that we must be skeptical, but we must learn to listen. And in this, we have finally learned how to be happy. And I do believe that's probably the best energy work that we have done in quite a while. So I want to thank you for joining me. And I want you to tune in next week, because we're going to be learning about the 12 signs of awakening, and it's going to answer a lot of your questions. So until next week, with love, peace, and gratitude, and just a reminder that we are our own happiness. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.